Today on Real Radio.
Maybe this evening you're an imagined Christian. I was born in America, you would say. I must be a Christian. Maybe you point to all of the world religions and you don't identify with them. So you think or believe that by default you're a Christian. That's not how it works, my friend. You're a Christian by listening to what Jesus has to say. And yes, he's speaking. He spoke back in that time of Christmas, and he speaks in this time of Christmas now.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher delivers a presentation that focuses on the all-important holiday we're celebrating this week. It's an entire series called The Jesus of Christmas. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, continuing in this series with the presentation called The Jesus of Christmas Present, He Who Is.
Imagine with me for a moment that you go back to a generation of people living back then when they heard a man and heard of a man walking about the northern area of Israel. They've heard about Jesus. They've heard his name. They've heard a lot of things associated with him. That he was not only changing people's lives, he was changing every community that he came in contact with. And the Bible tells us that as Jesus, and you can imagine he would come into a town and there would be a funeral going on or a funeral that had just happened, and Jesus would come into that mournful moment, and the Bible says that Jesus would there raise the dead. He foiled every funeral he came to. He just blew it apart by raising the dead. Then Jesus would go off to the next town or place, and maybe there would be somebody there who had been caught in the very act of adultery. And there the Bible says that Jesus gives a tremendous display of grace and mercy while not compromising the law at all. And he turns to this woman caught in the act and he declares to her that her sins are forgiven and that he doesn't condemn her. And he says, go and sin no more. Go and live that lifestyle no more. And there's no doubt that Jesus gave her the power to do that. This is the Jesus that we celebrate tonight that changes human life, changes cultures, changes the world. And listen, you may have a different religious belief tonight, but I want to challenge you this evening. I am glad, I am blessed as you are to be able to say tonight that there's been no figure in all of human history, no matter what you might think about Jesus Christ, there's been no figure that has changed the course of human history and the world like Jesus Christ. Hospitals, education, universities, communities, all the way down to what matters to us perhaps the most, personal lives, where people's lives have been drastically and radically changed by Jesus Christ. So if you imagine back, Jesus would have been making his way perhaps through the countryside, healing the sick and bringing back those that were in the grave. He was also telling people about the love of God, that the Bible says that Jesus was announcing the love of the Father and that the grace of God had appeared. Well, tonight, if we consider Revelation 1, verse 8, and if we think of Luke chapter 4, I love this portion of Scripture. I think this is the very purpose to the Christmas story. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord," Jesus preached, "is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me," Jesus said, "to heal the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind." Jesus went on to say in Luke chapter 4, "to set at liberty those who are oppressed and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." So if you imagine with me, pretend that your shoes or your sandals or whatever you're wearing are now following Jesus. Back then, the Christmas present, when people heard him, imagine church with me for a moment that people, just like you and I, actually experienced Jesus. They heard him speak. They could go up to him. They asked him questions. Wouldn't you like to walk up and ask Jesus a question? Wouldn't it be fantastic? Wouldn't it be great to be maybe mending your net, or maybe you're rolling out, you know, the bread for the day, or you're preparing, and Jesus walks by, and over the years now you've heard him speaking. You would have heard and known his voice. And you would have heard what people were saying about him. So he comes, and he comes into the area that you're at. And this one who is surrounded by such tremendous fame, you've come to appreciate him at least. Maybe his teaching, maybe his miracles has affected your life. And the amazing thing is, if you put yourself back in that time, you can hear and experience Jesus. Something that I would love to have happen today. If we could snap our fingers, wouldn't it be great for everybody in the world to experience the very voice of Jesus Christ, the very presence of Christ? You might say, that would be great if that could happen, to experience Christ like they did back then. I want to argue with you tonight as we go through this that you can experience Jesus Christ, perhaps, it's up to you, in a way that is even more deep than those that might have experienced his very physical presence as he walked by. Because Jesus offers tonight in the Bible, Jesus offers the opportunity for him to come and live inside you at this Christmas by the person of the Holy Spirit. You see, that's impossible for a man to do, but the Bible says Jesus is not just a man. And so if you think about these things of Jesus Christ, that the prophets foretold that he would come, the Bible said that he would come, and what Jesus said, what Jesus did, and who he was all written in advance in the Bible. And so as we consider this, hear him, listen to him. Tonight I want you to think of these things. Just five of them, we'll go through them quickly. Number one tonight, with the message that Jesus christened his public ministry with, the very purpose of Christmas is that Jesus announced that he was the giver of hope for all of us. He's the one that gives hope. He's the giver of hope. For in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, Jesus said, to preach the gospel to the poor. The gospel to the poor. You might say, well, Pastor, I'm not poor tonight. I got a couple of dollars. That's not the poor. That's not the poverty. That's not the without that we're talking about. That's not the word that Jesus used to be financially poor. Jesus said, God the Father has appointed him to preach to a certain group of people. And it's the people, perhaps it's you, I know it's me, who are poor. And when Jesus spoke about poor, the word in the Greek that he used was this. It's those who are being, the meaning of the word, crushed by life's pressures. Crushed by life's pressures, to be in the point of distress in the soul on the inside. Do you ever feel like that? I feel like that often. To be one who is poor, to be living this life and to fall under the pressure of this life, do you feel like that? Jesus said, I've come to preach the gospel to the poor. To those who are being crushed by life. I think we live in a culture that we can all agree that many people are being vandalized and victimized by life. Life is said to be unfair. Life is said to be cruel. Well, Jesus said, I've come to preach to the poor. And when you begin to take into account the fact that you and I are often living under such great pressures, I tell you, my doctor told me that he believes that 70 to 75% of the illnesses that he deals with in his practice is connected to stress. Stress-related illnesses bring on sicknesses, bring on your immune system being beaten down, which opens you up to other things. Pressure. Jesus said, I've come to preach the gospel to the poor, those that are under the pressures of life. But I want to ask this question, how does Jesus preach? If Jesus is the Jesus Christ of Christmas present, how does he preach today in the 21st century? Would he preach, listen church, would he preach a different message today than what he preached back then? What do you think the answer to that is? Not at all. Same exact message. The Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the nature of God. It's the same message. We don't need to change the message. We just need to put forth the message and believe the message. Jesus said, I've come to preach to the poor, and that is the gospel. Well, how does he do that? Listen, by interrupting our lives with thoughts of hope. Imagine for a moment right now you're not a Christian, or maybe this evening you're an imagined Christian. I was born in America, you would say. I must be a Christian. Maybe you point to all of the world religions and you don't identify with them, so you think or believe that by default you're a Christian. That's not how it works, my friend. You're a Christian by listening to what Jesus has to say, and yes, he's speaking. He spoke back in that time of Christmas, and he speaks in this time of Christmas now. Jesus interrupts our lives with thoughts of hope and good. And if this evening you are away from Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you. If you have never personally accepted Christ, Christmas is the great time to do that. But I want you to know something. When you have thoughts that interrupt your normal thinking, you're not even sure where they came from. You don't even know where they came from. You're wondering. And the thought comes of a hope, a thought that comes that maybe God is real. You ever have a thought like that? Maybe the Bible's true. When you stop looking at churches or Christians and get all that stuff behind you and strip away all the stuff, because you know what? Churches and Christians can be stuff that will keep you from knowing Jesus personally. Even though no church or no Christian would ever admit to that. We don't want to do that. But we want to point you to Jesus. Look away from people and look to the Christmas story. That Jesus came as the wise men came bringing gifts. The whole story is a message of hope. The angels appeared in the shepherds' fields of Bethlehem. And they gave a message of hope. And when God speaks, Jesus interrupts our thinking. And he puts a little deposit of, what if heaven's real? Do you ever think a thought like that? What if heaven's real? What if there is life after death? What if the Bible's true? Those are great questions. They didn't come from you. They didn't even come from your neighbor. I want you to know that God may use the thought patterns of your mind. He may use your neighbor. But God is speaking and he's saying, listen, I'm good. And my thoughts toward you are to give you a hope. That's what God wants to do in your life. The Bible tells us in Titus chapter 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, has promised to us before time began. God doesn't lie. He speaks the truth. And when Jesus came at Christmas, he was the fulfillment of the promises of God. That's why we worship him. Look, that's why we cannot say as a Christian tonight, happy holidays, season's greetings. It's more to us than all of that. If you fault that upon us, so be it. But it's Merry Christmas. The celebration of Christ. Because he came to bring hope. What could be so wrong with that? That the Bible says that he's come to die for us. To give us hope. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, so think clearly and exercise self-control while we look forward to that special blessing that will come to all of us when Christ returns. Hope, good news. Jesus came the first time through Bethlehem to bring hope. Jesus will come again to the earth and bring hope. But in between, right now, his word remains. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The Bible tells us this baby Jesus who was born at Christmas was the baby Jesus who came into the world that he would what? That he would die. Isn't that amazing? You say, what a fatalistic story. Well, first of all, your life's not a fatalistic story. He said, well, Pastor, you don't know my life. Your life is not a fatalistic story. Without God, it may be seemingly hopeless to you, but I got news for you. God is not hopeless. And while you're breathing, God is extending hope, pointing us back to the story that when Jesus came, he came to bring hope. But when Jesus died, according to the scriptures, he brought that hope into absolute assurance. And then 3 days later, what did he do? He rose again from the dead. Listen, not only is this true, but the Bible also teaches us that Jesus Christ is our healer. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, it continues, Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. You might say, well, I'm brokenhearted, Pastor. My girlfriend broke up with me tonight, or my boyfriend dumped me, and what am I going to do this Christmas? That's not the brokenhearted exactly what we're talking about exactly, but you're not to be excluded. The word is much deeper than that. Jesus is our healer. He's our healer of emotions. Now, we all have emotions. But when Jesus came, he says, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. Listen to the meaning of this word that they would have understood clearly when they heard Jesus speak in their own tongue. The word brokenhearted here, this word means, in a sense, all those whose souls, the word could be translated their bowels. Now, that's not a very attractive word in our culture, but the word means the deepest part of your guts. When some news that you hear is unnerving, where do you feel it? You don't feel it in your head, do you? You don't feel it even in the area that we call our heart. You feel it down in your gut. That's the word Jesus used. He says, I've come to heal the brokenhearted, those who are broken in the deepest part of their emotions. The Bible refers to it as the bowels of compassion, down deep inside, but with a specific meaning to the word. A brokenheartedness because of this. Those who have shattered dreams. Your dreams have been shattered. Life hasn't come the way that you'd hoped, the way that you had planned. Jesus says, I've come to heal your broken heart. Down deep inside, in every direction that you turn, you begin to think, could this bring hope? Could this bring meaning? Could this bring healing to my life? Jesus, listen, says, I'm the one who comes to bring the healing. Church, that's why the world is running around. Many, look at all the many of you tonight. I assume you got your Christmas shopping done. Maybe some of you, I think Walmart's open 24 hours tonight or something. You're going to run after service to go. But I'm assuming most of you have gotten it all done. There's people out there tonight. They're just, you know, going and going and going and trying to get it done and try to get that gift that is meaningful and not only give one to somebody, but back in the thoughts of their minds is the hope that maybe they'll get a gift that is meaningful. Maybe it's not so back there. Maybe it's up front, you know. I wonder what I'm going to get for Christmas. Because there's a hope. Maybe there's going to be some meaning to this or a Christmas bonus or maybe the new year is going to be the answer. Maybe that's the present that I really need to have. And there's this always longing out there kind of hope. Jesus said, I am your hope. I am your healing. I'll deliver you from your poverty of your soul. And I'll also mend your soul, your broken soul, when it's brokenhearted. That word also means that lost hopes. Jesus says, I'll bring them back. The word also means that our thinking becomes untethered. That's a word you don't hear much anymore. Something that is untethered, something that is tethered, is tied strong to an anchor. Jesus is saying, I have come to heal the emotions that are just going out there in the breeze. They're blowing in the wind. And even when the wind isn't blowing, they're not anchored. They're just there. They're raw. Jesus says, I'm the one that heals your emotions. I'm the one that can bring them under stability. I am God the Father's Christmas gift to you. So the question comes to us tonight, how does Jesus heal this deep part of my life? The word is interesting when he says here that he's come to heal the brokenhearted. The word in the Greek means that he's come to nurse you back to strength. Listen to this. The word means to heal the mind and to heal the soul by the use of his hands. The word also means that you can experience this healing that Jesus wants to give by massage. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a massage. I've only had one kind of a massage, and that's at my chiropractor's office when the masseuse guy comes in there. And personally, I love it, though I cry halfway through the thing because, you know, Bruno walks in there and says, hi, Jack, and starts putting this hot oil on my back and she starts out gently, you know, and he's not doing much to me. He's preparing me for the real deal. And you know when the real deal happens is when he's basically sitting on your back. He's got his knee in your neck. He's got his elbow and he's going, and you're going, oh, 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 oh. He goes, just keep breathing deep and breathe out and just take a breath. And you're paying the guy for this. And then he says, you know, you're going to be sore for the next 3 days. And I mean sore. This deep tissue massage, you know, and he's working things out. And have you ever had one? Do you know what I'm talking about? If you don't, he finds this little thing. It was his finger. I think it's his finger. Could be a tool. I don't know. And he digs it in there, and he goes, okay, I got it now. And he starts to dig in there like it's being surgically removed. And he's moving around, and then truly, after a little while, it's gone. That knot is gone. He works it out. That's the word that's used here of Jesus healing our broken emotions. He comes in with his hands, and he begins to move, and he begins to massage, and it hurts. It hurts by life circumstances that he brings. And it hurts by life's events that he brings, and it hurts by the things that happen in somebody, even in a sermon or a message. Somebody might say something from the pulpit or maybe a counselor, and it hurts. What do you think God is doing? You think God wants to hurt you? He doesn't want to hurt you. He wants to get the poison out. He wants to get that wrong out of there, and he begins to massage the deepest part of our souls to get that pain out, and he's at work. Let Jesus Christ in as the Lord of your life and experience his hand of healing and work. John 14, 27, Jesus said, peace I live with you, peace I give to you, not as the world gives, because the world says, I'll give you some peace. It's the peace of this and a peace of that, and at the end, you still don't have the whole thing. Jesus says, not like the world gives. I'm going to give you peace, he says. And then he goes on to that wonderful verse, John 14, 27. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Isn't that wonderful? Don't be afraid, Jesus said in John 14. In 2 John chapter 1, verse 3, Jesus, or the scripture I should say, speaks to us. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Now tomorrow, you're going to get gifts, or tonight. Have you been good all year? Huh? Have you? There is none good. No, not one, says the Bible. So that's offensive. Don't worry, you get a gift anyway. You get a gift anyway. God says, all have sinned and come short of my glory. And just when we pack up everything and head off, and oh, Lord, who can go to heaven and who can be loved by you? He says, but... Salvation comes. Redemption comes. Deliverance comes through my son.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called The Jesus of Christmas, a look at the true meaning and historicity of the holiday we're celebrating this week. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us and tell a friend. Of course, on Monday's edition of Real Radio, we'll resume our series in Ephesians 4 called United in the Gifts. And if you'd like to hear it again, here's some good news. It's now available on MP3 CD. In addition, we're including R.A. Torrey's book, The Baptism with the Holy Spirit. Our offer? For your tax-deductible contribution to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll send them your way. Remember, this includes Jack's series, United in the Gifts, on MP3 CD and R.A. Torrey's classic book, The Baptism with the Holy Spirit. There's more than one way to get in touch. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or call us toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO, or send in your tax-deductible contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Once again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Yeah. Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.